Now, I am sad to say that this is the last week of the 2016 Listener Request Month.
Sad?
Bummer. Nah, actually, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good about it.
but there were a lot of great calls, a lot of great picks. We had a lot of fun watching these movies.
And we are going out with a dud. This is Dungeons & Dragons. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zeta.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning into the show, as always. This week, Dungeons & Dragons from the year 2000, directed by Courtney Solomon, director of previous episode, what was it?
Getaway,
yeah, Runaway Getaway.
That was Ethan Hawke and a baby in a car?
Yes, and the baby's got a gun trained on him the whole time. It's so weird, that movie, that baby's just got a gun. Baby's got a gun. While I get that song out of my system, this was requested by Chris from Tennessee.
Hey guys, this is Chris from Tennessee. I'm just sending a request for Dungeons & Dragons the movie. After The Last Witch Hunter, I figured you guys could use a little bit more D&D, and everybody loves a crazy, overacting Jeremy Irons. So, thanks. I love the show, and I hope you watch it.
Chris has got a request. All right, now it's definitely done.
All right, please.
Sorry, everybody. All right, Dungeons & Dragons. I remember when this movie came out, I projected this movie. This movie opened...
You went in your mind's eye?
No, on a 35mm film projector.
Oh, I thought you had like your box office prognosis website.
Yeah, no, I definitely do those. I have to look at that stuff for work. But no, I was a projectionist running this movie. This movie opened in the smallest theater in our multiplex. Usually the new movies, like, you open them in the bigger houses and then they trickle down to this one. No. This one opened in the 60-seater. Wow, day one.
They were smart. They were predicting it, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Because I went and saw this in theaters.
Did you really?
No, I did.
What was the impetus for that?
Yeah, I was dumb. You know, when you're young, you make a lot of foolish mistakes.
Oh, sure.
I think it was just one of the, you know, it was one of those days that it's like your parents are like, not today. They drop you off at the movie theater. There's a lot of that.
Enough's enough. See you in 7 hours.
Dropping you off at the babysitter.
That's how you see The Rage Carry 2.
I definitely saw that on rental. I almost said in theaters. I remember renting it, though. That's probably a stay tuned.
I have not seen that.
So anyway, what was your initial thoughts coming out of the theater? Was it something like, what am I doing with my life?
Kind of, but I never, at least back then, I didn't expect much of my life.
I thought you were going to say you didn't expect much of movies.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Is the swords and sorcery genre the most, or the fans of the swords and sorcery genre, the most long-suffering fans in all kinds of movie fandom?
Yeah, because they got, like, what, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and that's been it?
What about the Seventh Seal?
What about it?
He's a knight.
So what?
He's not casting spells, though.
There's a mystical death guy.
Okay, all right.
That's the Grim Reaper. You dig up a fucking orc in the Seventh Seal, and I'll go down on you.
Well, I better go frame by frame.
Eric just left to start his own frame by frame Seventh Seal podcast.
But no, like, what else have you got there? I'm trying to think. Crawl?
Yeah. The thing is, the problem with that, you know, it was just a bunch of garbage forever.
Yeah.
You know, it was just that, like shit like this. They don't want to go too hard with it because they don't want to alienate the kiddies.
Right.
Got to go hard on it, man.
Game of Thrones reboots that shit.
Mm-hmm. It did. That's the whole point. It's like, they went hard with it. Lord of the Rings, letting that freak flag fly.
Right.
And those are really good movies.
I feel like some of those elves could have been naked, though.
Well, yeah.
Like,
that goes
dudes
without
and
saying.
Lady elves. You feel like the elves, like, when everybody else came into the village, the elves were just like, oh, man, gotta put our clothes on.
Yeah. Peter Jackson, I'm just letting you know you could have got a little more screen time on Cinemax if you were to let me see some titties on those elves.
But, you know, you're a 280-year-old elf. Who gives a shit? Walk around naked, man.
Yeah,
you're
totally right.
You're a beautiful creature, man and woman.
Orlando Bloom, get naked, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That racist Gimli, though, I don't want to see him.
Well, that's
not a dwarf. Dwarfs don't get naked.
Dwarfs need more clothes.
I mean, what else
I'm
falls into
a diaper underneath my pants?
What else falls into this genre?
I don't. That's the thing.
What was that dragon movie we did?
Dragonheart. That falls. That's another one of these, you know, kind of 90s, and this is kind of 90s crap. Fantasy swords and whatnot, like First Night.
Yep.
I was thinking of Dragonheart, though. What's the other one we did with Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, Reign of Fire? That's sci-fi. But
that's sci-fi?
Fantasy element.
What about Legend? Legend is kind of that.
Legend is kind of this.
Legend's okay.
Legend's fun. I rewatched it maybe within the last 5 years. Tim Curry's phenomenal in that movie. Not much else going on.
No.
What's the other one there?
The Neverending Story.
Yes.
Yeah, that falls into this stuff. Sort of. What was I going to say? Willow.
Willow.
The first movie I ever saw in theaters.
Really?
And I never saw it since.
I kind of liked it when I saw it. I saw it a couple times back in the day. I haven't seen it in a long time, though.
So just, I guess we'll get this out of the way, too. None of us here have ever played Dungeons & Dragons, right?
No.
No,
the game.
Right. Oh. What were you playing?
I don't know. Was there ever like a video game?
The Sexcapade?
Oh, well, that you guys never played the D&D Sexcapade? It's the loneliest Sexcapade of them all.
Your friends lock you in the basement?
Yeah, dude. I was imprisoned in a dungeon.
You got to jerk your way out?
So, D&D Sex Dungeon.
If you want to get out of that dungeon, I better see your dragon.
On the last Witch Hunter, I mentioned rolling a 10, but apparently it's a 20, and... I haven't heard the end of it.
And you won't. That's the other thing. You want to know why those people have it so hard? Because they won't let that go.
Well, see, that's the thing is I want to get that out of the way right now. You're going to get some inaccurate information on the D&D world.
But I have a feeling, though, that like folks who are fans of that game, which, listen, I don't care about it. I will never care about it. It's totally cool if you do. But if you're one of those people that likes this game, odds are you probably don't like this movie.
Why? Yes. Wait, what? This is like a... perfect adaptation, I thought, right? I don't know the game. I just assume this is exactly what the game is.
Yeah, beat for beat.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you know, you do hear those people talk about...
goddamn mages.
Being the Marlon Wayans character and just running around screaming nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they scream in that game and people wear red cloaks. And there's an axe, and there's really dwarfish stereotypes in this movie, right?
Yeah,
of course. Like the angry dwarf.
It's dwarfist, for sure.
I definitely think it is.
I mean, the thing is, like, making a movie about Dungeons & Dragons that is a game that has no story and no discernible characters is kind of like making a movie about freeze tag, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like...
freeze tag the movie, and it's just like whatever you want.
You mean it's kind of like making a movie out of Battleship? Saw that shit in the theater.
Really? I still haven't seen it.
Went to see Battleship in theaters, right? And me and the missus are sitting there. There's a dude. It's like a mostly empty theater, shockingly. And there's a dude sitting there. He's literally on the edge of his seat, like staring at the screen. And like the lights go down and like the trailers start. And some lady, like, two rows in front of this guy is, like, on her, you know, iPad or whatever. And this guy's like, hey, movie started. And he's, like, yelling at this lady. And then, like, we're looking and we're watching. He was more interesting than the movie. This guy's on the edge of his seat, like, kind of, like, leaning forward, hands on his knees, just watching Battleship the movie. Really weird.
How many budding cinephiles asked for Battleship Potemkin on Blu-ray for their like Christmas or their birthday, and like their dad just got the Battleship? Like, here's your movie.
Probably a ton. Yeah,
right into the Wheel Home Movies mailbag.
The Blu-ray of Battleship Potemkin out from Kino Lorber is a great restoration. I own it.
Well.
Anyway, so what is this movie about? We got Jeremy Irons. He's like. Some kind of wizard? I'm hitting a roadblock.
He's a mage. They call him mages.
Yeah, and I got a D&D term in front of me here. He's operating at level -20 dignity, is what is that's his specialty.
So mage, they're the people that can do magic, magic.
Right. I mean,
hey, I can do some magic for you.
Look at this magic trick.
First of all, I think wizard is a slur. They're mages. And apparently, they're a huge part of the population in this world, this kingdom of Asmir?
Crystal Skulls? What is it?
Asmir?
Ysmir, yeah.
And I guess that, you know, again...
Hey, kid, I'm a mage. I'm Charles Brunson.
For my next trick, I'm going to make this bottle of whiskey disappear.
That's a great D&D character. I don't know why they didn't put that in here.
I got a magic spell that'll make three holes go in your chest. Boom, boom, boom.
You're dead, Jeff Goldblum rapist. So what else you got about that? What?
Well,
there's mages, right?
They're apparently a huge part of the population. It's like the aristocracy, and then there's a bunch of poor people who are like thieves and, I guess, hedge knights of some sort.
Rogues. Yeah. Overall rogues.
Right, and that's our two heroes. One guy, name I can't ever know. Snails, played by Marlon Wayans.
Right, Justin Whalen from Child's Play 3, and he was Jimmy Olsen in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Yeah.
Right. Season that guy, two through four, don't worry about it, not the first season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't
did
worry.
Did he get recast?
Yeah, I think he did. Oh, no, he was
the replacement?
Yeah, he was a replacement Jimmy
Fucking
Olsen.
Fucking scab.
Dude, if you see him at a convention, which I'm sure you will, scream scab at him. And for no reason, don't even explain it.
You have to be wearing a t-shirt with the face of the original actor on it.
You fucking scab! Or Dean Cain's t-shirt.
So, yeah.
The original one should be at this convention, you fucking scab!
Good God.
Well, you know, we get a dragon pretty early on. Jeremy Irons is like trying to like learn this is sort of like an RPG skill. It's like animal taming,
right,
know?
He's trying to control this dragon by holding some sort of rod.
Uh-huh. It's a scepter.
It's
many
hard
scepters.
And it's in his hands. It's looking great, and this dragon's like kind of curious, and he's like walking over. And he's like, thinks he has him, like this dragon's like chomping at the bit for
him.
Oh,
I've got this dragon right where I want him. Yes, sexy dragon. Look at my rod, dragon.
It almost goes to plan, but then the dragon snaps out of it and realizes he doesn't want his rod. And now he's like jumping at him like a Jurassic Park type of thing. And Jeremy Irons decides to kill him like Luke killed the Rancor.
Yeah, it's very...
No, I was raising my hand because you first mention of Star Wars.
Sure.
This is one of the biggest crimes about this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is just trying to be Star Wars with dragons. Down to like the score of this movie totally apes the Imperial March.
Mm-hmm.
You have Justin Whalen's character and this mage that he meets, this young woman. They're definitely doing like a Han and Leia thing, and he's kind of like a mix of a Han and Luke, like mashup character.
You see that a lot in Star Wars ripoffs. You don't have room for two, so you just mix them all together.
Exactly right. And like, it's outrageous how, like, there is a sword fight later in this movie between Justin Whalen and Jeremy Irons, and every time the swords hit, they fucking light up, okay?
I think George saw this early and used a lot of inspiration from this film for episode one, because later on you get Thora Birch as the Empress at the Opera House or whatever.
The politics in this, yeah.
It's like the Galactic Senate. This is all Naboo.
But it came out first.
Yeah.
Oh, he saw it earlier, early draft?
To be
George is in the know.
To be fair, I read that this dude, this Courtney Solomon or whatever his name is, was trying to get this movie made for a decade. And he was trying to like raise the funds for a decade.
Was
like,
this in the IMDb trivia?
It
mother?
Sure was, mother. I'm looking at the news right now, and it's like the story goes is like he spent 10 years fundraising for the movie. He got the rights from the people who own the card game to do it.
Card and game.
The fucking game. Oh, it's cards and shit. Or right, some shit.
Guys, it's
there's no cards.
I think you like write stuff on.
Oh, I'm thinking of Magic the Gathering.
No, this is one they use.
Dude, the amount of tweets we're getting right now, I can just feel it.
You know what? You tweet me about that flub right there, and you're getting muted because I couldn't care less.
No, tweet him about that flub. Please. Because mute, I know. Mute. I don't even play.
Mute.
I'm not a D&Der, but I know they use pencils. Right? Like they write down stuff on scraps of paper, and then like one of them
is the dungeon master.
And that's the dude that tells the story.
Yeah, and he,
you
like,
know what?
Throws
we really
the orcs
booked,
at you.
We should have booked Vin Diesel and Dame Judi Dench for the show. They could have explained D&D to us. No, but so, like, the person who, like, held the rights or whatever, like, was saying, like, you should just direct this movie yourself. And he was like, no, I want to try to get a director, including, again, IMDb, Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine Francis Ford Coppola's Dungeons & Dragons?
It would have to be better.
And oh,
I'm not
sure.
saying it would be good.
80% more wine, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know what? They should have more wine in this, right? That's what people drink in elven life.
Or mead.
And
oh,
now,
yeah.
I shall have the ceremonial gabagol sandwich.
Just to get on Jeremy.
Dragon's tooth gabagol sandwich.
Jeremy Irons' haircut in this movie is like a Don Draper haircut.
Yeah,
like, what are you doing? You're in the Middle Ages.
It's I know. High and tight.
He
and
looks
I don't
great,
get it.
Though. Like, I just got a pretty good haircut, I think. And I was watching this movie and I was like, Fucker's got a better haircut than I got. Look at that haircut. Well, fucking mage.
Did you see that IMDb trivia that was like, they asked like Jeremy Irons, like someone asked Jeremy Irons why he did this film. And he's like, ha! I just bought a castle. I have to pay for it.
Yeah, totally.
And I fact-checked this stuff.
He owns a castle?
He owns a castle in Ireland.
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Does that make him a count?
I guess.
No, you can't just buy property and it comes with a title like that, does it? Is that how that works?
Know. Baron?
Baron, something's going on. He's got something cool.
Baron Irons.
We're American, European listeners. We do not know how your system works. I don't know the fiefdoms over there. Yeah.
Rounding out the cast, you have Bruce Payne as Annie Lennox, which I appreciated.
Sweet dreams are made of his fucking glittery blue lipstick in this movie.
Holy Here's my question. Toledo. And I mean, like, it's fine. He looks like a Mortal Kombat character, like, through and through.
Oh, sure.
Because he's bald.
Yeah.
He's like a cross between Mortal Kombat characters and whatever the fuck they were trying to do in Star Trek Nemesis.
Well, I kept thinking he was, what's his name from The Mummy? Arnold Vosloo for the longest time. That Mummy movie was around this time, that first one. I think that was like 99.
He's bald. He's got these like spiky shoulder pads and a crazy cape and all this like leather body armor. And he's got this lipstick, this silver white lipstick. And I'm curious, is it war paint? Is it the race of character that this guy is?
I'm going to count that one out.
What race?
The second one?
Because he's just a dude. I mean, here's the thing. You got Gleepglops in this movie. There's a fucking Gleepglop cantina scene.
Yeah,
speaking of
there's
Star Wars.
There's like green people and purple people eaters.
That's why I'm like, is he just like, of the silver-lipped Bargarians or whatever the other one would fuck?
Everybody knows the Bargarians are silver-tongued. God, sending tweet now.
All right, here's a question. Why did they hire the guy from Spyro the Dragon to do the effects on this fucking movie? Like, holy ever-loving shit, these dragons look like trash.
Mortal Kombat's reptile looked better.
He did.
Dude, Liu Kang's fucking dragon animality looked better, man. This looks like terrible. Shit.
It's so, like, cartoony looking, too. Yeah. Like, it just, there's no reality. Like, when the gate falls on him, he goes, and dies.
The blood's fake.
Yeah, the blood looks terrible.
This movie does a really bad job of going, like, it's weird. I'm torn. On one hand, I can appreciate this, and on the other hand, it's a bad decision. But like, they really go hard for the like, it's a computer thing, and then we're gonna make a quick cut, and then we're knee deep in practical effects.
Sure.
But the computer effects are so terrible that when they cut to practical effects, it's like night and day.
It is.
It looks so bad.
There's no middle ground. And like so many of the cityscapes are just complete bitmap shit.
It's just such garbage. And it's like, how did that goddamn Dragonheart movie that came out years before this... That movie's like, what, 96?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Something like
Which
that.
Which looks like shit now, but...
I mean, this movie, Dungeons & Dragons 2000, cost $45 million.
Right.
I needed a castle!
Yeah, I mean, pump some of it into irons. Obviously, you need names for this movie, but also pump money into the thing that's in the title.
Yeah.
I mean, these dungeons look great. The dragons, not so much. So, yeah, the dragon blood, like, trickles down into the water, and I guess dragon blood and water make fire.
Only once in this movie.
Yep, never
That'd
again.
That'd be cool to, you know, like, somebody's standing in water, and you got a little fucking pouch of dragon blood. You're like, hey,
yeah.
Cool line, then he burns to death. That'd be a great end for Bruce Payne.
All it would take is just someone to stop and think for 2 seconds about how to make this movie.
That'd be fun.
You just feel like they're going off, like, so half-cocked. So it's like, yeah, all right, we're going to rob this magic school or magic store or whatever it is. And then here's this woman.
Out of my magic store.
this mage named Marina. The actress is Zoe McClellan. She's been on a whole lot of NCIS.
Sure.
And JAG. I don't know her from anything else. I don't watch CBS programming. But so she's this, like, Marina, this, like, mage or, like, mage in training or whatever. I mean, she is the Princess Leia character in this movie. And she's, like, studying with this old man. And, you know, they get caught breaking in and whatever. And she, like, kind of just throws this magic rope around them. Like, it's another bad... This is a bad, like, it's a computer rope and they cut and it's just a plain old looking rope.
Right, but this is like a lassoing. And I was wondering, now, in Dungeons and Dragons, are there any, like, old Western characters... Like, is there, like, you know, like
could you play Dungeons and Dragons as Wild Bill Hickok?
Maybe, right?
I feel like that gets you kicked out of the circle, right?
Really?
If you're the guy, like, everyone does their little character sheet, and it's like, oh, I'm the 10th level mage. I'm the fucking dragon guy.
Dude, I'd be...
And I'm the old Western prospector!
Dude, like, I'd be level 007 James Bond.
Yeah, like, Andrew, get the fuck out of my room right
now. You know what? Get out of the back room of this comic book store right now.
Exactly, just like... No, you're kicked out. I'm an astronaut. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Astronaut.
Maybe. You know, like, maybe that... I don't know. Does Dungeons & Dragons take place on a different planet? That's a possibility.
It has to. There's no dragons.
Right? Because Game of Thrones is another planet. Hard to be a god is another planet.
Hard to be a god is another planet. That's right. Great movie.
You could maybe have a Planet of the Apes-esque astronaut. Travel to Dungeons and Dragons land.
Yeah, you're totally right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
Yeah, you can tell that to the doorman on the way out of this fucking game, my friend.
Get your damn hands off me, you damn filthy dragon slayer!
This neighborhood's been going to shit ever since all those orcs moved in down the street. I better take care of business.
That's the Western character,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's Bronson.
Bronson has spurs on at all times.
It's just Bronson's character from Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
Perfect. It makes complete sense.
So you got three dragons there. You brought two too many.
So, whatever.
Paint your dragon.
That's what they did with the CGI, right?
Yeah, they must have.
They MS painted their dragon.
In the credits, there's probably a dragon painter.
Probably. And that dude was just an unpaid intern. Because, again, these are terrible.
So they run. For some reason.
Who's the dude with the blue lipstick?
Bruce Payne is on the trail for all of them, and because they're trying to get a scroll of something that tells you where
to find a map.
It's a map to something that's going to lead you
to the Infinity Gauntlet.
No, to the rod. Here's the thing: the Queen has a scepter, and she's got a scepter, and it's got all sorts of magic.
And
shit.
She uses that to control dragons.
The Queen being
yellow
Thor,
dragons.
Thora Birch, by the way. I don't know if we specified that.
Yes, who is Queen Amidala in this movie?
Pretty much, she's Queen Namadalu.
But the get of this movie is this rod, and it's not like the rod of Chromaphilus or the rod of whatever the fuck magic thing. It's literally just called the rod. And like literally this whole movie is everyone looking to get that rod.
Just trying to get the rod. I just kept laughing thinking about that astronaut episode of The Simpsons.
Yep. Hey, don't talk bad about the rod.
Now I ruined it because it's Bruce Payne, but I keep going to say Arnold Vosloo.
Yeah,
that's gonna trip me up.
Now around here he gets the because they get away, they jump through that portal.
Bruce Payne just really quickly murders this old man by breaking his neck, and I was like, oh, I didn't know it was this kind of... Like, I didn't know this movie was, like, breaking necks.
He rolled a 20. That's, like, the highest you can do.
Does that mean instant death?
I think so. That's like a direct hit, I think.
Well, that's the thing. Like, what I know about Dungeons & Dragons, and everyone is that, like, it's kind of darker, right? Like, the idea is, like, you know, people are murdering each other and blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah. Sure.
Really?
Yeah. You're killing, tons of people. You could probably genocide in that game.
This movie is for little babies, like, for the most part, right?
That's the thing. That's what I thought it was, because you have, like, Marlon Wayans as, like, the comedic, you know, levity, and he's just, like, screaming like a cartoon character through
he's
this whole movie.
Goo-goo-ga-ga-ing the whole time.
But then there's shit like this old man just getting his head cranked around, and, like, people are getting stabbed and shit. There's no gore.
And the magic has left his body. But the, now she has these two thieves.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, our Jimmy Olsen and Marlon Wayans lassoed. She opens a portal to escape from, what was his name, Bruce Payne?
Yeah.
Whatever. And they leave, and he's failed Jeremy Irons.
So oh, right.
What does Jeremy Irons do to him?
Oh, yeah. He needs some payback.
Gives him a big old brain worm.
Stolen right from Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, everyone's got their nerd kinks. You know what I mean? Mine is getting my balls crunched. I mean, comic books. I meant to say comic books.
Oh, comic crunch.
But no, what a bad, you know, look, somebody fucks up at work. You know, maybe you give them a demerit or something. You give them a write-up.
Sure.
Why would you put a fucking thing in their worm that puts this guy in excruciating pain throughout the last acts of this movie? Wait,
oh, thing in their head?
Yeah.
Oh, he's right. A thing in their worm. And I was like, where is this going?
Well, I don't know. He's kind of a worm.
Well, no. I mean, to Steve's point, this dude is like the main heavy.
Yeah.
And now Jeremy Irons has essentially, like, debilitated him. Because he's got such bad headaches, Jason. And he's screaming about how his fucking head hurts. And it's like, Jeremy Irons, do you understand? Like, you're sitting here like, oh, why does he keep failing me? Because you put a demon in his skull and it's eating his brain.
These things, like, flap out like bunny ears later on. It's disturbing.
They sure do. He's bleeding through the ears the entire movie. The amount of ear trauma in this movie, by the way, through the roof.
Yeah, no, it's high up there. And it's uncomfortable. Now, I can't do ear stuff.
See, some people have ear problems.
Right. I don't know if that was in the game a lot or not.
I gave you ear trauma. Blast, ear trauma.
You have to get tubes in your ears.
Well, what was weird, too, is, like, the makeup that they're giving on this guy. Because, by the way, I keep saying Arnold Vosloo, because this dude's also, Bruce Payne's totally bald, like, clean-shaven, you know, cut dude.
Yeah.
The back of his head is, like, turning, like, red and scaly, and I'm like, is this dude going to turn into a dragon?
That's what I kept thinking.
That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
Like, this dude, because they do this thing where, like, the camera gets, like, really close to his face, and he's like, and his, like, face is turning red, and I'm like, this dude's just, like, the skin sack is just going to explode, and a dragon's going to pop out.
Oh, man, I'd love it.
Like, total, like, alien, like, a dragon fucking bursts out of this dude's body.
Like, Jeremy Irons thinks he's the guy, and then all of a sudden, Gaboosh, here comes the big dragon.
Yeah.
Probably named Gaboosh.
Get him, mighty Gaboosh!
Are you saying you thought Jeremy Irons would be the one to birth the dragon?
Oh, man.
I mean, there should be dragon birth in this movie.
They talk about dragon birth for a second.
Do they?
Yeah.
In what capacity? I missed that.
What, later in the movie, when Justin Whalen, like, wakes up from a dream, he's like, oh, because he's like, by
oh,
the
right.
way,
oh, yeah.
We've got, by the way, you've got your classic white guy chosen one.
Yes.
Let's all stand around and watch him do shit. So everyone in this movie has to watch and clap when Justin Whalen does something. But he wakes up from the stream. He's like, oh, man, I just had a dream. A dragon was being born. There was life everywhere. It was beautiful. Mm,
it was a natural birth.
Oh, that dragon got birthed in a blow-up kiddie pool in the middle of someone's living room.
No, it's just, yeah, you're right. That thing is so out of left field. Yeah. And this guy's like, oh, he had the dream about birthing a dragon. He's the chosen one that's going to save, by the way, ripping off Star Wars, he's saving the Empire.
Yep, they say
Empire all over the place in this movie.
Well, the weird thing, I mean, to my point earlier about, you know, sword and sorcery movies, that's Star Wars, kind of. I mean, like, you know, lasers and whatever.
Well, I think Star Wars is it's a sci-fi setting, but it's totally fantasy. Like all that shit's fantasy.
That's the closest. And then in the 80s, you got a bunch of, like, Star Wars ripoffs, like fucking
Ice pirates, right. And all, yeah, whatever.
But then you also get some badass shit, man, like Beastmaster.
Oh yeah, yeah,
was dude. Beastmaster ripping off Star Wars?
Was no, Beastmaster but that was pornography.
yeah. Yeah, 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 but not really. But it's not really. It's fantasy, and he like can talk to the. It's like Mr. It's like if it's basically Dr. Doolittle meets Conan the Barbarian.
Right, right, right,
and, like, and it's kind of cool.
Rip Torn's like Satan.
He's like throwing children into fire pits and stuff. It's pretty cool.
So then we go to the council. Jeremy Irons is wearing a what can only be described as a Lord of the Rings wedding dress that he got off Etsy. Like there's no like this thing. It's like a white. It's a gown. It's an honest, like for most of the movie, he's wearing this black and red evil outfit.
Right.
But I guess like he's doing a double character here.
Right.
So he's like, oh, I must look good. So here's my wedding dress.
You know what it kind of looks like? The outfit that Rufus has in that second Bill and Ted movie, like just a long gray nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or no, like, he looks pretty professional.
The Pope's like summer outfit, kind of.
When the Pope goes to the beach, he puts on what Jeremy Irons has in this movie.
So he's like trying to get the council to like, because Thora Birch is trying to enact legislation that's going to make everybody equal. Sound a little, you know, a little commie-ish, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, totally, dude. Talk about a fucking single-issue candidate.
she kind of is in this, yeah.
And she's not... The weird thing is, like, why pay for her... I mean, I know why Jeremy Irons is barely in this movie. It's because like, it's a real You Got Me for 3 Days situation.
Well, he only bought one castle, not four.
But what? Why not? Why is Thora Birch so removed from this movie? Like... She's a name at this point,
but
kind of.
But have you seen her act? Well, in this movie, man, she is terrible.
I liked her and stuff. I mean, but this is it's the year after American Beauty. It's totally possible that this movie was shot and shelved for a while, though.
Yeah, sure.
Because she does kind of look younger in this movie than she looks in American Beauty. And then Ghost World was like 2001.
Yeah.
I don't think she's done anything I've given it a shit about since then. I mean, she's not... Like, I like her fine and stuff, but I don't think it was a get.
No.
Getting her in this
fair.
Movie. Like, Marlon Wayans is kind of a bigger deal-ish, a little bit. I don't know.
He starred in Senseless.
He did star in Senseless. Actually, funny, he was shooting this movie concurrently with Requiem for a Dream.
That's why he's so slim.
But it's funny, though, he's got the same haircut. And I think he's even wearing the same earrings in both movies.
It'd be cool if there was like a line in Requiem that was a line from Dungeons & Dragons, and there was a line in Dungeons & Dragons that was a line from Requiem.
Oh, well, shit, does at any point in Requiem for a Dream, Marlon Wayans just go,
I think so.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing in this movie is fucking screaming like a baby.
I will say one thing about Marlon Wayans in this movie. He's the only actor in the movie that knows what's being required of him, right or wrong, and is giving it his all.
Disagree.
Fair enough.
No. Not. I agree with you on what you're saying about him. I disagree that he's the only actor. Rocky Horror's Richard O'Brien, who plays like... King of the Jewel Thieves or something.
Huh?
The dude who like runs the maze. So let's fast forward.
Wait, there's a maze in this movie?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They go
fast forward. They're trying to get this goddamn map, but they've got to get this dragon eye. It's a jewel.
Yeah. Okay, the guy that runs what seems like to me kind of like the House of the Undying.
Oh,
right? Yeah. Right, Game of Thrones fans?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking
anyway,
about.
Anyway, continue.
Well, no, that dude gets what this movie is. He gets how stupid this movie is.
Yes.
But he's like, you know what? I'm a professional. I'm going to like keep it to a level. Like Jeremy Irons is in the cinematic stratosphere as far as the hamitude is concerned in this movie. Like he's clearly not giving a shit and he's just being as ridiculous as possible. Richard O'Brien's like, you know what? I don't get a lot of chances to be in movies. I'm going to like... kind of play it right down the middle. Like, I'm not going to try too hard. And it actually comes off as, like, a real character. So much so that it's jarring. Like, they get to him and it's jarring. Because you're like, this isn't in this movie world. Like, shouldn't you be, like, dancing and screaming and acting like an idiot like everyone else?
Yeah, they get there and the whole thing is like, oh, you have to go through my maze to get this thing. To get the thing you want. But no one's ever survived in it before. And the thing about killer mazes, to me, anyway,
is like... Yes.
if I really don't want someone to be in my maze and be fucking around in my maze and getting the jewels that are at the end of it, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, go through that narrow pathway. And that's the killer maze that's going to do it. And that's the room where I have the big Colombian guy with a shotgun that, like, you walk in and he shoots you in the back of the head.
In fantasy terms, that's a minotaur.
Like, you just trample. Yeah, I mean, like, or a guy with a bow and arrow or whatever. Like right. just shoots you in the back of the head.
Crossbow.
When you think you're about to walk into, you get Joe Pesci'd every time you walk. That's my fuck. That's it. All right, Joe Pesci, you want to get made? You have to go through the secret maze that's going to get you to the thing.
But I don't think it's that Richard O'Brien doesn't want him in there. It's that Richard O'Brien knows how hard the maze is to beat,
sure.
and he's been waiting around for someone else to do it. Because of course. This fucking son of a bitch goes in.
Right, because he wants the dragon eye. Or
right, so like our hero goes in, he gets this dragon eye ruby thing.
But this fucking maze, dude, is a carbon copy practically of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's like, you know, there's like floors that give out or shoot arrows and shit. And
there's
it's like,
guillotines.
No, in Latin, dragon is spelled with an I.
Only the penitent paladin will pass. The penitent paladin will pass.
There's so much of that shit. There's even the Temple of Doom room where the spikes come down from the walls.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
And the way he beats this maze is so fucking stupid. It's like he smashes shit until it works. He breaks like an hourglass, and suddenly everything works. And I'm sorry that I forgot that there was a maze in this before. I didn't know it was called the maze because this shit is garbage.
You're right, though. It's not really a maze as much as it is kind of just like a dangerous obstacle course.
Yeah. Obstacle course is the way you would call it.
I think we'd call it a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Oh, a gauntlet, of course.
Right?
There's a line around here that I don't want to miss. So, like, the team is basically Justin Whalen as our Luke Skywalker Han Solo. Then you have this lady Marina. You have Marlon Wayans. Then you've got this short little dwarf guy.
R2-D2.
Pretty much, right?
Kind of Chewbacca-esque a bit.
I think, yeah, more Chewbacca, because all he does is get angry and smash things.
Well, right? There's a part in when they're like walking through this like bazaar to get to the guy, to get to Richard O'Brien's character, Silas or whatever. And like the woman is like looking at like a tapestry or something like that. And he's like, "Hey, if I ain't drinking, you ain't shopping." And then he like drags this woman, and then like Justin Whalen like sees her like
Sinbad do a pass on this movie.
Well, it's great because then like she falls back in line walking with them, and he turns around like our hero of the movie, and he's like, "Hey, why aren't you shopping right now?" And I was like, "What the fuck is with all this shopping?"
Well, you know, it's just one of those digs at being a woman, which were very popular at the time.
Did anyone notice who played this little dwarf?
No, I did not.
He's done a couple episodes of Seinfeld. He played what's his face?
Oh, is it the guy that Jerry accidentally slams his hands in the car door?
Yes, it's that guy who also from the parking space who gives my favorite line in all of Seinfeld is, "Man, that Michael Jordan's so phony. Why'd you tell him?"
That's funny because I thought it was that guy and then I didn't look it up.
And he also did a bunch of Pirates of the Caribbean stuff.
Oh,
that
right.
guy's
yeah,
doing he, just okay.
He's that guy. Yeah, he's totally good. So we beat this maze. He gets the jewel. Then Richard O'Brien's like, "Well, I'm going to steal it from you now," kind of a thing.
And then, of course, Bruce Payne shows up.
Right,
they have a little
the entire Crimson Guard.
We get our first dull fight scene of the movie, basically.
It's so fucking boring.
It's so boring. And you're sitting there like, all right, you got swords, you got monsters, there's fire floating around, there's danger at all
times. Spells
turns.
And shit, throw something,
but
turn somebody into something.
It's so fucking boring, so it's accurate to the game. Sounds pretty cool.
Sometime around here is when they're like, "Oh, is it that person or whatever?" And the guy's like, "I don't know." And then this dwarf character just goes, he's got a "they all look the same to me" line in this movie.
Yeah, it's
right up against elves, right?
Yeah, when all these elves show up, he's like, "Oh, they all look the same to me."
There's that, and then like he also has this other line where he's like, "You don't want a skinny elf, you want a big dwarf where you got something to hold on to." And this guy's like really like thrusting with his hips, and I'm like, "I've got dumb babies here because I'm watching Dungeons and Dragons."
Well, they gotta learn how it goes.
The thrusting?
The thrusting, yeah. You got to learn.
But this
she's
is when
another character, I guess, an elf.
Right. It's revealed a little later that
she's working for Thora Birch, right?
Right. She's like private security or something. She's like Blackwater on a mission or something.
Because they sort of paint her to be evil at first.
Yeah, right, you think she's a bad guy. But
then she makes a phone call and Thora Birch picks up. She picks up the magic phone.
She FaceTimes. She picks up, I don't know what, it's like a phone.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And then all of a sudden her face is on the magic mirror in Thora Birch's lair and they're chatting face to face.
This elf security guard character has basically like the bad version of a Captain Phasma costume. I mean,
exactly.
Is some breastplate armor.
What in the world is going on here?
It's outrageous. This thing looks like a fucking cupcake tin. It's ridiculous.
How is that strategic at all? Why would you need that at all? Like,
oh, in case the women need to bake something.
Like,
it's a couple of bundt cakes.
And that's the funny thing you say about this movie is pretty monstrously misogynistic because A, her costume, and B, like, they set up what's her name? Marion or whatever the lady's name.
Oh, Marina, I think.
Marina is her name. To be this great magician, and she does jack all shit throughout this entire movie.
Yeah, it's like, it's because
Justin Whalen's a bit of a Mary Sue, is the thing.
Yeah, he is kind of a Mary Sue. I would say so, yeah. Like, I never saw him get good at swordsmanship.
No, that's true.
I kind of don't see him be good either. It just works out for him.
This whole idea that they, like, really don't spend any time trying to set up, that he's, like, this chosen one or whatever.
Right.
And, like, nothing he does is really, like, the one-esque.
He
does succeed and he does... You know, save the day, but it's all through, like, just bare-knuckle boxing
to
and
be
sword
fair,
fighting.
The number one and only requirement to be the chosen one in a movie is to be a white guy in moderately good shape.
Yeah,
with kind of floppy hair. If you got floppy hair, you're doing it all right.
Floppy hair is great, especially for adventuring.
Yeah. So if you flip that shit to the left, you're on an adventure.
He's also racist.
Yeah,
he's
that's true.
He's constantly going, like, fucking mages.
These fucking mages everywhere taking my jobs.
later on towards the end of the movie, I mean, it's because the mages are the 1% and I get it, buddy.
Yeah.
But he comes across a mage skeleton, like a dead old wizard skeleton.
Right.
And he's just like, about time a mage got something they deserved. And he's free to say that at this moment because no one else is around.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's like, this one's just for me.
Yeah, he's putting that on Facebook. I got something to talk about on Facebook about their mages. I got a racist mage meme.
So, whatever, man.
Hey, Snails, you block me on Facebook?
Speaking of snails, so Bruce Payne steals this fucking dragon amulet away from them. So they decide they're going to break into his stronghold.
Well, no, he kidnaps Marina and then, like, weirdly, like, ear weirds her. All I can say weird is a verb here. Well, his ear thing.
Oh, there's ear sucking.
There's ear sucking and fucking. I don't know what.
It's so bizarre because, like, his ear things.
They're like tentacles that come out of his ears.
He rolls a hentai, and suddenly these two tentacles shoot out of his ears and start, like, penetrating her ears.
Yeah, it's getting somebody off.
Because he says, if you're not going to give me this information, I'm going to suck it out of you. So these suction cups go onto her ears, and she's like
sucking.
Screaming, and he's like, oh, you know, it's, you need it for what? Oh, to do this? Oh, this is great information. And she's like, stop sucking on my ears!
This is sort of like Star Trek Nemesis.
It is.
I mean, this is also before Star Trek Nemesis, right? It's like a year or two?
Yeah, that's true.
But that one also has a mind rape scene.
It does, and it's got pointy little shoulder things.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, shoulder things.
So they break it to save her. And again, I don't know what kind of movie this is. I can't tell if it's a kid movie or not. And then right before they go in, Justin Whalen goes to Marlon Wayans, and he's like, hey, Snails, be careful. I'm like, oh, he's dead.
Sure. Now, because we're going to get to the death of Marlon Wayans is coming up in this movie, I want to talk about this character for a second. This character doesn't fit in the rest of this movie.
No, of course not.
Like, this is supposed to be a Middle Ages-esque whatever. And Marlon Wayans is very anachronistic. A couple examples I can give are, he's going up to this, like, the lady elf, and he's like, "So, girl, are you single?" And I'm like, "You're talking about being single? What are you even doing?" Like, and then there's another part where he's about to cast, like, a little tiny spell, or he's got something that he does, and he goes, "Oh, just get a little bit of black magic in here." I'm like, black? Like, making black jokes? What is this movie? Like, I think Marlon Wayans is supposed to be a time traveler.
That's pretty cool. That's like the bridge between sci-fi and fantasy.
If it just turned out that he was from, like, the year 1998.
Well, that's a Martin Lawrence movie, I think.
Black Knight?
The Black Knight? Yeah. That's a possible stay tuned FYI. Black Knight.
I have not seen it.
Oh, he, like, falls into a moat at, like a mini golf course or something, and then, sure, like, he wakes up in Middle Ages times for some reason.
That's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
I'm sure that there's at least, like, a David Warner or somebody's, and they're like, "Oh, Black Knight, you can't do that."
Yeah, probably. It's kind of like Peter O'Toole in King Ralph.
Yeah, or Supergirl. You know, it's just like, "Oh, don't be, oh, you can't eat that without your finger. Oh, no.
Oh, Black Knight, no." No, so he, like, breaks into Bruce Payne's, like, dressing room.
Well, because he's like, "All right, you get the amulet, I'll get the girl."
And sure.
It's like, "Oh, so you want me to go up against the big, heavy, bad guy?"
Yeah, do the more dangerous job, only black guy in the movie. Got it.
the guy with the earworms that can fucking suck the whatever out of you. And he's got, like, you know, he's like 8 feet tall. Sure. I'll do that. You go, take over those two really anonymous henchmen. I'm sure that'll be really difficult to get Maid Marian or whatever the fuck.
These henchmen have had three lines between the two of them the entire movie. So this is another instance. This is great. This is the scene. It's kind of my favorite thing in the movie. Marlon Wayans swimming around in a tub of hummus.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
It's a quicksand carpet. Like, he's right. Like, "Oh, there's the thing. All I have to do is get it," after, like, 4 minutes of vamping around this guy's office.
Yeah, he's, like, going through. He's, like, picking up this dude's underwear. It's probably a thing where the director was like, "All right, Marlon, here's the room. Just go nuts in it. Do whatever you want, Marlon. Just vamp. We're just going to get it all.
Have some fun.
It's all gold, Marlon.
We got the day. We're ahead of schedule because everything's terrible." So, like, we actually had all this time for special effects. Fuck it, Marlon. You go.
Just do it for 15 minutes and then wind up in that giant bowl of oatmeal.
Well, it's another example of,
like, maybe you pulled out a red flag.
The computers, like, the computer effects not jiving with the practical effects, because, like, he's standing on this carpet and it's a security, it's like there's an enchantment over it. Yeah. He starts, like, sinking into this carpet, and then, like, Bruce Payne comes in and he's like, "Need a hand," and it cuts. And then Marlon Wayans is just, like, flopping around in this hummus pool. It's so stupid.
He should have pulled them out with his ear tentacles.
I don't think he wants pressure on those. Because remember, through this entire movie...
Oh, they're just for sucking?
Yeah, it's just for sucking. Because Bruce Payne's got a really bad headache through this whole movie. Right. Whatever this unspecified thing is that Jeremy Irons did to him, it's eating his brain from the inside out. It's actually kind of impressive that Bruce Payne's character still manages to do all this with his brain being eaten.
He's pretty successful. Like, a migraine, I'm out. I'm calling out for the day, man.
Oh, totally.
That's food for thought.
So he pulls him out or whatever, and he puts a knife to him, and then, like, they go out to some field, and, like, just in time, Justin Whalen beats the two, like, 70-year-old henchmen. And it's like, "Oh, man, that was so much more difficult than stealing that fucking bejeweled thing that is clearly being guarded by the bad guy."
Dude, those two henchmen were, like, a day away from retirement apiece. And Justin Whalen just gets them good. But then it's like, it kind of cuts to what appears to be, like, a scene out of Highlander. They're, like, outside. It's kind of like, I guess, this dude's backyard, but it's, like, overlooking the ocean. It looks really cool, and they're, like, about to do battle.
Sorry, this is my backyard.
He's just got a bunch of picnic tables, a couple of kids hanging
There's
out.
There's a white picket fence.
Oh, no. "Don't take this into my backyard. The swing set isn't finished.
We don't bring our families into this. My children are out there."
So it's like Justin Whalen comes out just in the nick of time to save Marlon Wayans, or so you think. And this dude just kind of like runs him through and throws his body off a cliff. And I'm like, I keep thinking this movie's for kids, but like, that's pretty brutal.
And it happens a couple of times where it's like, he's got him by the throat. And he's like, oh, give me the something or other. I think it's the map or some horse shit. He's like, give me one of those things. And I'll let your friend go. He's like, all right, all right, all right, here you go. And he just fucking kills him. And it's like, yeah, chosen one my ass, pal.
This guy is a terrible hero. Meanwhile, the woman that can shoot fucking force lightning out of her fingertips is just sitting there like, oh, I got kidnapped. Oh, save me, kid, from Child's Play 3. Save me.
You fucking scab. So like, then they fight. He gets stabbed in the shoulder, and she like kind of teleports them out of there. Which obviously,
where was that fucking wormhole 4 minutes ago when poor Marlon Wayans was getting murdered?
There's actually something fun. They have this party with the elf and the dwarf, and like they go inside the castle, and the dwarf's like, "Let's go in there and fight," and she's like, "No, no, no!
You better not be shopping in there, wench."
She's like, "No, no, no!" She's like, "No, no, no! They have to do it themselves." It's an awkward cut because, you know, there's like 3 minutes of other dialogue. And she's like, that's enough. You get it.
That's another bullshit thing in this movie. She's like, no, 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 no. Battle ready dwarf. They have to do this on their own. And I'm like, why? What? For what reason?
Yeah.
The more the merrier. Get in there and fucking jailbreak these people. Come on.
Makes no sense. But around this time, we also get a cutback to the opera house that's like the Galactic Senate.
Oh, this ongoing debate with these
and
people.
And this is where like Jeremy Irons is rallying like the mage nobility to basically throw a coup and there's going to be a war between.
I'm tired of this baby president.
Yeah, it is a baby president, and she's got the scepter that controls the yellow dragons, and all these dudes are like in red cloaks being like, well, we're team red dragon.
Right.
And I don't know what that means.
And then he's like, be prepared.
Well, you know, I was so happy when this scene came around because I was like, finally, a scene that will go down in motion picture history when two great actors like Jeremy Irons and Thora Birch can face off.
Just going at it together. Like,
with
this is
just
like
some snappy-ass dialogue.
This is like Pacino and De Niro finally getting together.
Totally, dude. It's that diner scene from Heat I've been waiting for my whole fucking life. No way is this in a movie, man. Because it's like, it's so ridiculous. Because it's Jeremy Irons like, I want another thing. This, that, and you little girl. And then she's just like, I refuse to get involved with this. For I am for peace. And the yellow dragon. That another thing about the red dragons. You'll rule the day. Yeah. Red dragons.
Lolita.
I saw that movie and I didn't appreciate the way you tricked that girl, Humbert Humbert.
It'd be great if at the end of this movie they keep talking about red dragons, if fucking
Tom Noonan
if Tom Noonan and Ralph Fiennes come out and the red dragons start like just fucking and
dude,
killing people.
Double red dragon?
I love it.
If it's just regular yellow dragons and then just those serial killers from serial killers from the Hannibalverse come through the portal. I guess they're the same character, right?
Yeah, yeah, but alternate timelines.
Alternate timelines. Yeah, we could get into timelines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
Sure. Oh, crossing universes, whatever. That woman opened a wormhole. All bets are off.
They did that in the game, right? There's probably wormholes. And
okay, so you're a level 12 mage. Yeah, I'm a William Peterson from Manhunter.
Did you just get the fuck out of here, please?
I've got really high shorts.
We know that if you're going to play as World Graham, you have to play as Edward Norton in the remake.
No, William Peterson.
Well, no, serious question. Like, you can just make a paladin or whatever character, and you can just name him William Peterson, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's no law against that.
There's no law against it.
Here's my mage, William Peterson.
You just can't pull a gun or a notebook or whatever the fuck.
He's a retired, a violently retired, a criminal pathologist. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The way we would play Dungeons and Dragons reminds me of the way Michael Scott does his improv classes on The Office, where it's Steve Carell just being like, "And now I've got a gun! He's yep. down on the ground!"
Yep, absolutely.
Dude, I'd have "I've got a gun" every time. I'm a level 5, I've got a gun.
But I don't know, you know, I think they keep track of your inventory and stuff, you know? I guess you get given, like, I don't know, a bit of wood or... or like a rusty old sword, mm-hmm. right? And you work your way up, you get those XP points.
Or a copy of the Tatler, right?
So, I don't know. This guy's going in a cave for some reason.
Well, he wakes up and like Tom Baker, speaking of fandoms that I'm not really fluent in, one of the Doctor Who's, plays like the head elf or whatever.
Oh, right. I forgot about this
scene. He heals him. Like they're like, oh, he's going to die. And he's like, oh, I have all the space magic.
Oh, yeah. This is where the you saw a baby dragon being born thing right. happens.
This is also a great moment happens when it's just like, how were you able to heal him like that? You mages use magic. Ourselves are magic people.
We fucking make it rain.
Yeah. Like, I pee magic.
But this is where, and this is again, it's another thing that's just, it's dropped into this movie and it doesn't mean anything because they don't do anything with it. But Doctor Who's like, hey man, did you know that all the magic that you guys do exists in this world because of dragons.
Yep.
So the amount of magic in the world is directly related to how many dragons are on Earth. And they say something about like, well, what happens when all the dragons die off? And Doctor Who's like,
I don't want to imagine a world without magic. And I'm like, oh my God, how is this not a cool 85 minutes?
It's just like Game of Thrones.
Is that right? That's what dragons do in that world too?
Yeah, it's like magic is waking up again.
Oh God.
Well, yeah, the first book must have been out already, right?
Yeah, like 96 maybe.
Oh wow,
or
so
four.
Somebody's cribbing some Martin.
Yeah. Did someone steal from me?
It's my inaccurate George R.
He's
going to
get some heavy pipe-hitting motherfuckers from Bayonne that are going to break their legs.
That's true. he is from Bayonne, New Jersey.
He didn't get that fisherman's cap for nothing, dude.
Man, that guy is just like the least Jersey dude ever. It's awesome. So they're like...
Yeah, he's going to eat a submarine sandwich. You say he's Jersey or not, that dude could eat himself a submarine sandwich. Any Jersey boy worth his salt could eat a submarine sandwich.
One bite.
So there's this great scene that is horribly sound mixed, where it's like her and him, Marion and Justin Whalen, and they're like budding romance. But now, like, it's right after Marlon Wayans dies, and it's your classic hero fork in the road. I don't want to do this anymore. And
he
starts spouting off some racist shit about mages. And he's like, oh, you mage! You fucking mage! Stupid fucking mage! And she's like, oh, okay, my dad's a mage. I don't like your dad! You know what I mean? Like, it's this shit. But there's also, like, I guess it's supposed to be, like, wild sound of, like, the elf village. But it's like, you can barely hear them in this scene.
And they're having this, like, blowout dramatic scene. She's fucking screaming at him.
Yes, exactly.
And he's like trying to give it right back.
It's amazing. It's awful. And he gets his groove back. They make out and he's like, all right, I'm gonna go get the I have the red dragon eyeball. I'm gonna get the red dragon play set. Gotta go to Tom Noonan's house. he's fucking with Joan Allen and the blind Joan Allen.
Hey, Courtney Solomon, doing the sound mix for this dramatic scene you have here. Are you sure you don't want me to turn down the effect of owls fucking? Because, my God, it's everywhere.
Second question, how do you have this much wild sound of owls fucking?
No reason.
Yeah. So he goes in there and he runs afoul of a scary skeleton.
Well, this is after he's gone through, like, the tiger's cave from Aladdin, because like
is white Aladdin, to be fair.
He is, because he fucking puts like the jewel in this eyeball socket that this, like, you know, statue has or whatever, and this door opens, and it's this, like, room of treasure. And he's, like, looking around, and he's, like, thinking, like, oh, geez, I wish fucking Marlon Wayans could be here to see this. Oh, man, I wish I could be stealing all this shit right now. And I'm like, just get on with it.
Yeah, grow as a character already. Stop drooling over treasure.
He turns into fucking Abu.
He picks it up, and he's like, no. That's over now. And he does put it down.
Oh, does he?
Well, he realizes he's rich enough because at this point in the film, he is wearing three belts.
Wow, you're really scared those pants are going to come down, fatty.
He wept, for there were no more belts to wear.
Eric, I'm just looking at your character sheet here. Why does your character have four belts on? Nobody else is mentioning belts. It's supposed to be magic skills, charisma points.
I belts accessorize. My magical characters have accessories.
Well, you know, egg on your face when your level whatever mage's pants fall down.
Not with these belts. Not with these belts.
There's a part in this where, like, I guess this kid realizes, like, what he's got to do or what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But all that's conveyed to me as an angry audience member watching this movie 16 years after it came out is he's just staring at this painting of dragons while music plays for an inappropriate length of time.
It's forever.
And I'm sitting there like, all right, maybe this thing's going to become like animated and tell a story.
It's not even a good painting.
No.
Do something that makes it look like a painting. This is like, this is Bush League shit, man. this is terrible art. This doesn't, like, I can understand, like, a character getting into a scenario like that, looking at, like, a gorgeous oil painting depicting a war or whatever.
Right.
Oh, this is history. You know, I've never seen it depicted because we don't have books because we live in shit.
Right.
But it looks terrible.
How would you feel if I told you that in the end credits of this movie, it says, Dragon Scenescape provided by Santa Barbara Children's Hospital?
about the same.
It wasn't painted by dying kids, but I'm just saying, you never know who's making these things.
Well, you know what? It looks like it's painted by dying kids. I wouldn't fully invest in painting dragons either if I was dying.
You get what you paid for.
It's like a dying kid painted this.
Well, you're right. So this skeleton comes alive, and he basically just does the Last Crusade thing. It's like,
yeah,
I've been here for a time immemorium for someone to be worthy to blah, blah, blah. You look white enough. Why don't you go grab it? And it's like this. He finally gets the rod, which is what we've been talking about.
Oh, this
like,
fucking
rod. The rod is cursed, and anyone who gets it will have a terrible curse laid on their head. But it comes with a free Frogurt.
The Frogurt is also cursed.
See here, you got your rod set to evil.
So the last act of this movie, right?
Oh, it's a dragon war.
It's a dragon war. It's pretty terrible.
Oh, the terriblest.
So Thora Birch is like laying siege on the capital with all of her yellow dragons.
Sure, why not?
And then one of them gets shot and impaled by like...
a church steeple? That's pretty fucking funny.
Right, yeah. That was pretty fucking great, actually.
That was one of the things. I was like, that's kind of a star.
It gets, but like again, it gets like an arrow, and then it falls and impales itself.
But it looks like when fucking Liu Kang falls into that pit in Mortal Kombat 2, and there's spikes everywhere.
Yeah.
It looks like 16-bit horse hockey.
But the thing is, like,
on!
There's one dragon casualty, and now she's winning the war by a country mile.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she's like, oh, what have I fraught?
Yeah, she does have a what have I done line.
And then she's like, oh, dragons, come back to me.
What oh, my dragons. Oh, they're doing all sorts of the busy work here. Well, that's the stupid. Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, you killed 150,000 people today with your lovely dragons. One of those fucking dragons, heaven forbid. Bruce Payne gets the rod.
How did he get that rod again?
He wanted it. No, he gets the rod by, he kidnaps Marion again, I think.
Oh, and, sure. Like, this kid, why not?
This fucking gullible idiot's like, all right, you let her go, and I'll give you the rod that I just got. Because I'm the chosen one. I got floppy hair. And he's like, it's like, all right, dude. I got four fucking belts, man. I gotta be the chosen one.
Oh no! Look out now, Chucky's coming.
You can, all right. You can take three of my belts and the rod. And my lunch money.
So he takes out his lunch money, he takes off three of his four belts and the rod, he gives it to this dude, and this dude's like, no, like he's going to kill them anyway or something.
Yeah,
right?
Then I guess he teleports to go to Jeremy Irons and win the war because he's got all the red all dragons.
Right, yeah, well, you got the rod that controls the red dragons, and now the red dragons are showing up.
Yeah, and then I believe with the rod and the scepter, he can form a double ended situation that can.
Oh, right. And
it can penetrate the walls of the magical realm, I think is the idea.
Speaking of Requiem, ass to ass.
Totally, dude. Dude, it's the Dungeons and Dragons ass-to-ass sequence we've all been waiting for.
And then now these red dragons are being controlled by Jeremy Irons fighting these yellow dragons controlled by Thora Birch. And I don't know where this part happened. I don't know if you guys caught it. It's a blink and you miss it. But Thora Birch is riding around in a Santa Claus sled.
Yep.
Like commanding this battle.
Dude, it's amazing because there's one point where she's like looking at all these dragons and she does like a cartoon character whistling for a New York City cab.
It's blink and miss this, by the way.
What?
I don't know what this part is.
Oh, no, she makes eye contact with one of her dragons and is like, hey, get over here. And then the dragon's like, you got it, and swings around, and she, like, is fucking flying behind this thing or riding it or
something. With, like, a sleigh or something, and the dragon turns the meter on. I mean, he is a yellow dragon.
And at one point, she's just out there, like, it's kind of like she's not sitting, it's standing, like Ben Hur kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this dragon is just like, you're the boss. And like just and she's not contributing anything extra by being out there.
Nothing at all. And
the dragons know what to do, which is win the fight.
They just see other color dragon and kill them.
Hey, we're the yellow dragons. See, this is our side of the street.
Will, do you want to know how it is you're going to beat the red dragon? I have a couple tips for you, Will.
Okay, Dungeon Master, my character needs to go to the Baltimore Mental Correctional Facility. He needs to get some training.
We told you already, Steve. You can't do that unless you roll a 17.
So what happened? She just gets off her chariot at the same tower that Jeremy Irons is, and they confront each other?
Well, Justin Whalen beats Bruce Payne.
That's a classic scene.
Jeremy Irons.
Guys, today we're filming the most important scene in all of the Dungeons & Dragons movies.
I think he comes back for the sequel, by the way, Bruce Payne.
Someone told me that on Twitter, and I was like, you can keep it. I'm never going to find that out myself.
By the way, there are three movies.
Hachi Machi.
Crazy. You know what that is? That's like after all the Lord of the Rings stuff happens, it's like,
yep,
there's a market for these things.
Like, holy shit.
But the
shit.
Thing is, like, why not just do Dungeons & Dragons : something else? The fact that the one released in 2012 puts a big fat three on it. It's like,
really?
What are you doing? Don't connect it to this.
No one's keeping track.
You don't want to be. That's a bad move.
Also, doesn't Bruce Payne get murdered in this movie?
He sure does. But does his tentacles save him or something?
Well, no, he gets cured. Yes. Right. And then he just kind of gets body slammed off the tower, right?
Yeah, off the top turnbuckle
tower.
This
one's for snails and my floppy hair. And he throws him.
Also,
give me back my belt, you big jerk.
He's also impaled, though. Like, Justin Whalen runs this dude through. And he's like, that one's for snails. And then, like, pushes him. And it's like, sayonara, sucker.
Fucking mage. I'm going to put your picture on Facebook.
You fucking blue-lit mage piece of shit.
He pisses off the tower on his body.
I got a bunch of graphs I'm going to put on Facebook as to why you're a fucking danger to our country, you fucking mage.
Thing I'm barely putting up with this week. You.
Oh, I'm LMAOing at that.
Rafflecopter. Rafflecopter goes. Anyway, go on.
It'd be great if he escaped this movie in a rafflecopter.
That would be better graphics. Just Iski art or whatever. Fuck.
So, oh, then Waylon and Irons go at it. And he's sure. Like, you boy. And he's like, I'm going to turn into a snake. Wait, which Disney movie are we in?
Oh, crap. It's too late.
And then he goes, here you go, your majesty.
He starts doing this dark magic, man, and he summons a skeleton.
He does. Yeah, I don't know where this thing... It's like a little cool, like... It's kind of the best special effect in the movie. I like that guy.
I think it's like Yoshi's skeleton.
It is. It just like jumps out. And like jumps on Thor. Is it on Thor Birch's back? And it's like fucking biting her?
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
It's like, where was that gimmick an hour and 20 minutes ago?
And I think both the elf and the dwarf are still outside the castle. Like, no. They got to do this part by
themselves. Hang back. Hang back. They got to do this all on their own.
Hey, don't worry, buddy. You're getting paid no matter what. Doesn't matter what you do in a movie, so long as you're in a movie.
So Jeremy Irons gets the shit beat out of him and also thrown over this tower.
Well, he gets
eaten
by a dragon.
Oh, no, that's right. Oh, you're right. He does get eaten by a dragon.
Well, this idiot, he finally grabs. He's like, now I got the dragon scepter. I'm going to control red dragons. Yes.
And Jeremy Irons is like, what are you doing?
Those dragons will listen to you, boy. And he's like, oh, no, it's too much power for anybody. You got to destroy this stupid thing. And I'm like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
There goes your goddamn... You could be president. You could be dragon president, man. This kid was an inch away from being dragon president. He fucked it up.
I would love to be dragon president.
Man, I lost out on being dragon president. Now my career in dragon politics is over. I'm sunk. Mom, give me another belt. I'm gonna do 5 fucking belts today, stupid dragons.
So a yellow dragon comes out of nowhere and just chomps and swallows him, and now Jeremy Irons is like dragon shit.
Now I'm going to come out of this dragon's anus more powerful than before.
They should have filmed that scene. He's like coming out of the ass.
Oh, sure, dude. Be like Ace Ventura 2 where he pops out of that fake rhinoceros.
No, it's like he goes in there and Bruce Payne's like reading a book and he's like, what are you? Oh, don't even ask. And then like a nice iris out and credits.
I would love it.
Not one word.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. And then. And then, what was his name? Porky the Pig can say that's all, folks.
So Jeremy Irons is dead. And that's really, you think, like, the end of the movie. They're doing a lot of, like, high angle, like, looking down at this tower. This shitty Imperial March music ripoff shit is playing. And you're like, this is the end of the movie. Here it comes. Cut to, like, a cemetery. And here's our hero. And it's like... I'm thinking, like, here comes the credits. No. We got to stop everything while this protagonist stares literally at a pile of rocks for 5 minutes.
Question. Did anyone get a good look at this leather jacket?
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. It's got buckles upon buckles.
It's like a biker pirate. That's what this dude looks like.
It's made of belts.
Wait, jacket's made of belts? What do you think about that, stupid? The best part is he's like, oh man, snails, they're gonna make me a knight, but you hear all that fanfare, it's all for you, snails. And it's like, not really.
It's like
nobody knows who this guy. This guy died 20 minutes before the fucking climax.
And no, none of those dudes playing the fanfare know who Snails is.
And what the fuck happens next? Like the elf is like, what if I told you could see snails again?
Well, that's what's horseshit is like. The elf comes out and she's like, hey, you want to be in more than one movie? Because this is going to happen. And so, like, here's this
breastplate mold was pretty expensive. They got to use it again.
No, like, he's staring.
No, I'm going to use it.
He's staring at this pile of rocks, and, like, the top rock says snails on it.
Wow, what a fucking beggar's funeral.
Well, I guess it's because you're not recovering that body. He got thrown into the ocean.
But, I mean, if he's so special, like, give him a nice limestone something. Yeah. Don't go to a pile of shit rocks.
Well, maybe it's temporary, dude. Yeah. I don't think the dust is settled after that dragon war.
But what's ridiculous is he's dead.
Yeah.
I saw him die.
Don't tell me it didn't happen.
I saw it happen. But they all... they all instantly die in this scene. Did you guys pick up on that? Well, they all turn like they're like, let's go see snails now. And they all turn into like fairy dust.
Here's what happens. The they top explode. Rock says snails on it. And the elf comes up and she's like, hey, sequel time, bitches. And the name snails like melts off the rock and turns into like fairy dust or some yeah. shit. And then this lady with her fucking huge breastplate is just like, hey, your friend's waiting for you. And then like
in heaven.
Yeah.
And then they all explode into fairy dust dude, and they fly away in the wind.
They travel to the other side, dude.
Yeah.
Here's your fucking seven death. Seal shit.
You're right.
Oh man, I would have been a fucking Seven Seal Part 2, not even Dungeons and Dragons Part 2, because that movie was stupid.
Dude, he challenges death to a belt buckling competition.
How many belts you got, death? None. It's just a rope, stupid.
The way I read that ending is they're all dead.
Yeah, it's a fair reading.
No. They're just going to, well, whatever Asgard? You would call it, another realm.
Marlon Wayans doesn't come back. I kind of expected a ghost, like, come on and follow me. But like, I feel like just he was in the middle of like, that prison in Florida or whatever the fuck happens at the end of Requiem for a Dream. Like,
yeah.
Nah, he can't come back.
Well, that's... I was kind of waiting for that, too. I was like, man, they're going to resurrect this son of a bitch, and I'm going to be really pissed off.
It's
right
League
now.
Of Extraordinary Gentlemen time.
Yeah, you're totally yeah. right. Yeah. No. We just get sucked into a nether realm. The most audacious sequel setup in the history of cinema.
It's up there. It's not... I don't know. I feel like Mario Brothers still has it beat.
Well, because Mario Brothers does only because nothing ever came of it.
Yeah.
This had garbage sci-fi channel direct-to-DVD sequels.
But then they had nothing to do with this, basically.
Well, you're saying that Bruce Payne's in one of them, though.
I think so. But
That's what someone else said too. Is he reprising his classic role as Damodar,
or is he reprising his classic role as that racist guy in Passenger 57?
Oh, that's right.
That movie's like it's just Die Hard on a plane, and then towards the middle it gets racist, and you're like, why?
For no reason other than Wesley Snipes is the hero.
Yeah,
of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes, man! Yikes! Mm-hmm. This movie.
You guys, we did a lottery system. Nobody did us any favors this month, I'll be quite honest. You listen, all get a D from Steve. No,
disagree. D for this, for Dungeons & Dragons. I had a great time with Nightmare Beach, man. That's a movie that I'll probably watch again before I go to my grave.
I mean, you know what? This movie had it coming.
It did. It would have been an episode eventually. It's such a shit show.
Totally. Antitrust...
we'll figure it out. The Shadow was fine.
How about that Bret Michaels movie? Yikes.
Oh, yeah. Letter from Death Row.
That was a seeing is believing thing. You know what I mean? You're not right. Even like the Pyres. Like, this is just something like every fat idiot's seen this movie. So
oh, wait. What is that?
Fatty.
A dig at me?
Well, you're the only fat idiot in this room that saw it in theaters.
As much as I make fun of it, I always, like, the older I get, the more open I am to a Dungeons and Dragons game. Like,
I'm
kind of
curious too.
Invite me, guys.
Dude,
I'll
if
go.
We
Dude.
Got invited to play Dungeons and Dragons somewhere, like, as a We Hate Movies thing, like, watch three idiots try to do this,
I'd do it.
I would do it.
I'm actually now kind of excited.
And I wouldn't be a jerk. I wouldn't.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
I wouldn't be William Peterson from Manhunter is what I'm saying. I would try and take it more seriously than that.
Yeah. We're cracking jokes about this movie, obviously. Yeah. But like, if that actually happened, if that got set up, I would try as hard as I could to pay attention and learn how to do it. Yeah. I really would. I probably would never return to it, but I would do my best to try to understand why people dig on it.
Look, here's the thing. I like board games, I like sitting around telling jokes, and I like drinking. And that sounds like what you could do at a Dungeons & Dragons table, which I'm okay with.
Would anybody recommend this movie?
No.
No, it's not a movie.
It's,
no. How about
it's pretty
that?
Terrible.
It's astounding to me that this was theatrically released.
It's such a mess. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's trying to do a lot of stuff, failing at all of it.
Every aspect of this movie, minus Richard O'Brien, is a huge failure to me.
And it's really thankful. It's really lucky that it was played after Letter from Death Row, or else we'd all be like, this is the worst movie we've ever done. But that's so fresh in our minds as a failure.
Yes.
We're like, oh, okay, it's not. Not
it's still
it's not,
totally a Letter from Death Row.
There are worse movies
than this. Oh, yeah. 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 We've done worse movies than this.
I still just can't get over that this was released in theaters. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Like, this was a thing that, like, New Line Cinema
you got
put out.
Jeremy Irons. There you go. I think that's what did it.
God, I mean, I guess so. It was like 5 or 6 years after Die Hard 3.
But it was only like 2 or 3 after Lolita.
But that was just like, I don't think that was theatrically released. That
was
like
a Showtime original movie.
Yeah, it was direct to cable.
Still. People ate it up.
Oh, we'll get all the perverts out to come see Dungeons and Dragons that loved Lolita, the remake.
Well, that's why you got your hentai ears.
That's Dungeons and Dragons from the year 2000, directed by Courtney Solomon. If you want to get a hold of us and find out more information about We Hate Movies, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate you spreading the word about our fine program. Now, next week, we are out of Listener Request Month, diving back in to some originally curated programming with
my best friend's wedding.
Oh, right.
It's been a really long time since we did a rom-com. We've kind of been doing, like, nerd fare for a little while. It's something for everybody next week, I guess, with a psychotically nightmarish Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rom-com. It's the best kind of rom-com. A rom-com with a totally crazy, certifiable protagonist.
The Joker ain't got nothing on this lady, dude. This woman is an agent of chaos.
So until next week, with America's favorite agent of chaos, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Sisko.
Take it easy.